Good evening, folks. If you hear my voice, you know what day it is, don't you? Sometimes I forget, but I'm looking on my computer and it says Saturday. So I think we're in touch with you. I know I'm in touch with my friend.
Good evening, Carolyn. Good evening, everyone. This is Richard.
He's here. I just love it when he comes. And he's supposed to be here. Anyway, what we try and do, my dear friends, is bring things of great interest in a timely fashion. And as you look back over our recent calls, you perhaps would agree with that. The choices of that we have made of individuals on the other side to come and give you a perspective of these times, of the way the earth is evolving, what the new earth would look like. And looking back on this, I just realized the other day that someone that we could hear from who would be exceptionally valuable at this time would be Gaia. So much is going on in the planet, and so much we believe in the near future that Gaia has a real stake in all of this. And she, I know, has been preparing, and I wanted her to come and tell you about some things that is in her awareness of what is on in the near future. And so, Richard, if you would be kind enough to call forth Gaia and feel her energy so we could have other people try to enjoy that also, being close to Gaia as she reaches out to us.
Yes. Such a beautiful experience, Gaia. She is such an expression of love. And it's not just a kind of singular central experience of love, but it's quite a broad experience across my chest as I experience her. Very pure, very great honor, I guess is the word I would use. And also some of those strands of wisdom that I was picking up with Isis last week, but not as focused, you might say, on the wisdom as with Isis. Much greater sense of love, this beautiful, powerful, broad, clear love energy. Just glorious.
I love that word, glorious, Richard. That's such a wonderful word, glorious. Hopefully, all of you have that sound in your awareness, glorious. And I'm sure you have some sort of image of Gaia. Put it in your third eye and concentrate on the heart chakra where the love energy resides, one of the places, and connect to the words when Richard receives the message from this beautiful being, Gaia.
My dear friends, it is an honor to come forth in this manner to share with you my perspective. It has been a long journey that I have walked as what you might consider the spirit of this beautiful planet. The being, if you will, that has had the honor and the responsibility of overseeing the journeys of this beautiful planet called Earth. Few of you are aware of the unique beauty that this planet has. I say unique because there were so many beings that came forth to contribute, to participate the best that they could bring from their, you might say, library of plants and animals and minerals, such that there was this blending, this exquisite, extraordinary blending that you see upon your planet. And I'll say to you that there are so many examples on planet Earth of insects and flowers, of birds and plants, of various animals that interact in a unique manner with some kind of plant or indeed some other kind of animal. And these interactions were brought forth together. There are those who try to explain all of this exquisite interaction on the basis of evolution. And I am not saying that evolution does not exist or does not occur, because indeed it very much does. However, if you reflect just one moment upon these exquisite interactions that are so interdependent in so many cases, it is impossible that there be a path of, to use that Darwinian term, natural selection, that would have this unfold. It makes no sense. And yet so many try to explain these interactions from that perspective. It simply is not possible to do so. And so these were brought forth in this manner and blended together so that you have this beautiful mixture of plants and animals and insects and birds and amphibians, fish, so many different expressions upon this planet. And I have taken it as an honor to have the opportunity to be the one who has, you might say, had the role to oversee this exquisite blue-green planet. So much life, and yet so much challenge. Few of you understand that there are multi dimensions of the planet that exist concurrently. And I wanted to come forth tonight to talk to you about the new Earth in particular, but I will take the opportunity to broaden your understanding a little of the multidimensional nature of the planet. You, as I speak to you, experience yourselves in what you refer to as the third dimension. And I will say to you that even within this third dimension, there are levels, there are layers of experience. And so it is, there have been those who have pursued deeply spiritual paths, deeply metaphysical or mystical paths that have opened up skills that do not seem to exist for others. And it is because they have been able to move themselves to higher vibrations, you might say, to higher expressions within the third dimension. And so they have displayed skills and abilities and understandings and perspectives that most people cannot imagine. Yet all of this has unfolded within this singular dimension. And for the most part, it has not been understood that what these individuals have done, as I'm describing to you, is to move themselves to those higher vibrations. And so even though they are at those higher vibrations and bringing forth and displaying skills and abilities and understandings and others do not, they do indeed continue to interact with other beings in this third dimension. And I will also say to you that there is an expression of the planet which is broadly known as the New Earth, which indeed has actually existed for a long time. Indeed, it was the expression of Earth, you might say, that reflected the level upon which humanity existed prior to the fall in Atlantis. And again, within that fifth dimension, there are levels, there are layers of experience. And so you might say there were separations that emerged over time within that fifth dimension. There were those beings of the light that sustained a path of the light despite the activities of the dark within Atlantis. And so they moved their vibration to a higher level within that dimension. And so with the fall, they did not participate in the transition that most of humanity went through, fall to this third dimension. And so you might say that the third dimension that you experience was several layers of that fifth dimension that were, you might say, participants in the fall, or you might say went through a conversion to create this third dimensional reality that you experience. And yet, in parallel with that, these higher levels of the fifth dimension remain. And so, my friends, those who participate in the ascension process will be moving to those higher levels of the fifth dimension that remain. And indeed, some of the dimensions, you might say, that went through that transition to the third have been refreshed, replaced. And so there will be a spectrum of experience even within the fifth dimension. And beyond that, there are other dimensions. And all of these are expressions of planet Earth. And at this point, there are beings, human beings, that exist within the third dimension and the fifth dimension, and a small number beyond that. And the key difference between the third and the fifth dimension is that the beings in those dimensions do not experience the beings in the other dimensions. So whilst you have layers within a given dimension, they indeed continue to be aware of each other in that dimension, but once you move from one dimension to the other, you cease to be aware of any beings that were or may remain in the lower dimension or the higher dimension. This is, in a sense, truly what that dimensional expression means. And this transition that awaits you, as I said, involves for those who participate in it a return, you might say, to that fifth dimension. And the interaction between these things is more complex than you might realize, because your experience as you transition to that higher dimension will in many ways be initially seemingly unchanged. It will be as if you have remained where you are almost. In other words, you will experience your living situation to be identical initially to that which exists in the third dimension. Indeed, the transition will be transparent to everyone who goes through it, other than those few that have responsibility for ensuring this unfolding occurs. This might sound bizarre to you. It might sound difficult to understand. Many of you will be aware that consciousness is turned on and off at an extremely rapid rate. And so the consciousness as you experience it is only, you might say, turned on for half of the time. There are these gaps that are as long as the time that consciousness is turned on. This is extremely rapid, such that you experience consciousness continuously, but it is not continuous. And so the transition can occur in one of those off moments, you might say, and when consciousness turns back on, you will be in the fifth dimension. It sounds bizarre, as I said, but really, from an experiential point of view, it will be this way. And then things will begin to unfold and change. I will say, as has been indicated previously, that those who will participate in this transition will indeed experience the rejuvenation of their physical body prior to that transition. Indeed, they will experience it prior to the coming solstice. It will be quite close to that solstice that this experience will unfold, but it will unfold prior to that solstice. The exact timing is still subject to adjustment and variation for a number of reasons, but it will unfold prior to that event, and in its own way will trigger as an alert to humanity about what is unfolding. And so these are some of the elements that are involved with this transition. And I will say to you that when this fall in Atlantis was engineered by those overseeing the progression of humanity, so its return, the next time there was this alignment with galactic center that you are about to experience, it was planned that there would be that opportunity for humanity to move forward once more, and at the very least, all of humanity, whether they participate in ascension or not, will see the end of the interference by those beings of the dark. So these changes I wanted you to understand, and I will say to you that my role has been what you might consider a mixed blessing, because on the one hand there has been this wonder and joy that I mentioned, the gratitude that I have felt for being able to oversee this exquisite planet, this exquisite experiment, the most exquisite planet in the cosmos, indeed beyond. And on the other hand, it has been a planet that has, in this third dimensional experience, suffered extraordinary abuse, not only of the human population, but also in every other sense, in the sense of the animals, the plants, the minerals, the destruction of the planetary structure on so many levels by those who would exploit the planet for their own purposes rather than accepting and understanding their roles as shepherds, as guardians, as protectors of this planet. They have taken a very different path, and it has been very painful for me to be part of that abuse as well as being part of the beauty and the joy and the wonder. It has been a bittersweet experience, you might say. But I do understand and have understood that it was what you might consider simply a blink in the journey of the planet and the journey of the minerals and the plants and the animals and of humanity. 13,000 years or so is really not that long in the scheme of things, and yet from the perspective of a human lifetime as it is lived in the third dimension, it is an extremely long time, living this linear experience of time, carrying those powerful emotional bodies and being subject to the abuse of the dark. It seems an extraordinary long time, but really it has been but a blink. And this damage will be shed. It will pass away in time with the transition of the third dimension as you know it. You see, the higher dimensions of the planetary experience have remained pristine. It is not that humanity has not and will not use the resources of the planet for their own purposes. Indeed, they will. Rather more in that dimension, they do and you will be able to bring forth anything that you desire from the background energy field and return it there. So you will not have to utilize the resources of the planet to bring forth what you desire and in turn cast your refuse upon the surface of the planet or under its surface, but rather simply return it to the background energy. You will not need to exploit and damage the planet in the way that has been the experience in this third dimension. And so, my dear friends, this is really what I wished to share with you, and I am willing to answer any questions you may have of me.
That is beautiful. Thank you so much. We do have some callers on the line, and I want to bring in their questions. And after them, I would like a little information about you, Gaia. You've told us about the planet. We really want to know about you. So, Dolly from Texas is on line 3. Welcome.
Hello, Richard, Carolyn, and Gaia, and thank Gaia for all the beauty she gives us.
Really?
Yes, thanks much for the beauty. Two questions. One very quick one. People are asking me if they have to have elective surgery between now and the 21st. Should they wait until after the 21st or have it before? And the second question is, when Gaia talks about the plants, the flowers, and the education of things in the Atlantean education, there are some papers that have never been translated called the Voynich, V-O-Y-N-I-C-H papers. They're full of the most beautiful instructional information, diagrams of plants, stars, herbs, health, healing things. They've never been translated. And I was wondering if there was any information that Gaia might have, since it all relates to Gaia.
Okay.
Those are my two questions, please.
Thank you. Richard, the first question had to do with people taking elective surgery between now or later. What does Gaia say? Or maybe she doesn't have an opinion about that. I don't know.
It would be my general advice to defer elective surgery beyond this transition, because those who will be participating in these changes will not require such surgery because of the repair and the correction and the perfection of their physical form. And for those who will not participate in that process, most of them will be transitioning to another planet quite quickly. And so it would be my advice to not pursue elective surgery at this moment. And if they are asking such a question, it is very likely that they will indeed be participating in this ascension process. So that is my answer to your first question.
Thank you very much. Appreciate that.
Did you understand the second question?
The second question, indeed these records exist. There are many sets of records in many forms that carry information about the expression of plants, the creation of stars, indeed creation in many forms on many levels. And these records are in part in the written form of which you have spoken, and some are in this dimension and some are in other dimensions. But indeed there are records held in libraries throughout the cosmos that for those who pass through the ascension process will become available as you open your skills and abilities and understandings. And so whilst the ones that you speak of are wonderful records, there is no need to focus on their translation because they are one of many copies, and indeed the information that is contained therein will be available in what you might consider a more readily approachable form beyond this transition. So leave those records be is my advice.
Thank you very much. They have always been a wonderful enigma with beautiful illustrations, but nice to know that we don't need to pursue them at this time. Thank you very much, all three of you.
Thank you. Dr. David from California is on line 4. Welcome.
Thank you. Hi, Richard, and hi, Carolyn, and Gaia, thank you so much for everything. I had two questions. One is, as a doctor who practices energetic healing, I've been really aware that many of my patients have had very, very weak magnetic fields, and they've needed a lot of support in amplifying them. And I've been doing things with minerals, especially with silica, various forms of alkalization and oxygenation, grounding essential oils, and that's been very helpful. And one question I would have is, do you have any other suggestions along those lines? And is this associated with the fact that your magnetic field is actually getting smaller as we move toward the 21st? So that's question number one. And question number two is, do you have any words of wisdom or advice for those of us that live on the surface of Gaia regarding opportunities for exchange and relationships with our brothers and sisters who are in Agartha, not on the surface? Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Richard, he spoke a lot, gave us a lot of words. Do you have the questions in your mind?
I do, yes.
Thank you.
The reduction in magnetic field strength that you are referring to is indeed a reflection of the changes on the planet. It has impacted certain individuals in the manner that you have experienced, but for the most part, humanity has not been affected by these changes. And yes, the reduction has been associated with the impending transitions. And as humanity moves forward from this moment, all will live in balance energetically in every sense. And so I honor the work that you have been undertaking, and I would not add anything further to what you are doing, in part because we are talking a very short time period between now and the coming solstice. And in regard to those who live within the planet, they too have understood that the transition that awaits humanity is indeed on everyone's doorstep. As you perhaps appreciate, they have not suffered in the way that those of humanity that have remained on the surface of the planet have suffered. And it is the intention that those who have lived within the planet will return to its surface beyond this ascension transition. So indeed, in a sense, that is an answer to your question, because there will be this greater interaction between those who moved within the planet as the events of Atlantis began to unfold. Indeed, I should more accurately say as they began to emerge in the Lemurian experience, because those who have entered the planet really are of Lemurian origin originally, though they too have gathered a rather more solid form than they had when they chose to move within the planet. And so they will return to the surface, and they will share a form in common with the rest of humanity as the transition unfolds.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for your questions, Dr. David. Our next caller, Roger from Tennessee, is on line one. Welcome, Roger.
Hi, Richard and Carolyn and Gaia. My question is this: what are Gaia's views on factory farming? You know, animals have consciousness. Do they actually come down to this earth knowing that they are going to be living the type of life that they're going to live and die the type of way they're going to die?
Did you use the term factory farming?
Yeah, factory farming.
Okay. You mean herding animals and like...
factory farming. You know, in mass production, cows, pigs, chickens.
Okay.
You know, for commercial use. You know, that kind of thing.
Okay. So let's see what Gaia says about this.
Those animals which come forth to, you might say, act as food for humanity, understand that indeed that is their role when they come forth. And so it is not such a, you might say, shock to them that they become food for humanity. And indeed this applies across the animal kingdom. So many of you are concerned or react strongly when you see animals killed by other animals, or birds killed by animals or other birds, and so on. And really, this interaction was all agreed and understood, and those species which are subject to, you might say, acting as the food for other species, those understandings were put in place before those species came forth upon the planet. So, in a sense, this is all consistent. And this applies also to fruits and vegetables and so on, which are consumed not only by humanity, but animals and insects and birds and so on. There is this interplay. And as you recognize, these animals have a consciousness, although they do not, for the most part, have individual souls in the way that humanity does. They carry a group soul. And really, in its broadest sense, there is no real difference, even though to humanity it seems there is no real difference between, for example, the consumption of an apple and the consumption of a chicken. So in that sense, there is that agreement. However, it was never planned that animals be subject to the abusive manner. And I say abusive because I consider it abusive, and I feel the pain and suffering of the animals and birds in the less considerate approaches, you might say, that have been taken to the raising of chickens and animals for the human food supply. it was never intended that these abusive and oppressive conditions be put into place. And so that has made things a little more challenging than was originally planned for those species. And those that come forth do understand that they are coming into those conditions, but it was not planned to be in that form, and it is not something that I view with any joy.
Thank you, Gaia. Makes me sad to hear that.
Thank you.
Thank you for your questions, Roger. And on line three is Joa from, I guess that must be Wisconsin. Joa, your question. Welcome.
Thank you so much, and Carolyn and Richard. And to Gaia, I have a question regarding the possibilities of ascension within your being. And it is this. I wanted to ask you if the process of the collective ascension of humanity supersedes and embraces a process of ascension I read about a number of years ago in a book called Thinking and Destiny, in which a...
Excuse me, dear. Can you shorten your question, because it's kind of wandering a little bit, and it's hard for me and perhaps Richard to get your real question. Can you consider doing that, please?
I'll try. The question is about the process of how the collective ascension of humanity, does it embrace or supersede an individual's ascension? There's a description of ascension called the Great Way, in which a surface dweller goes into the inner earth and develops an immortalized body, and has a dual column, sexless, immortal body.
There is no need for you to explain this further, please.
Yes.
I will say to you that the process of ascension, as it will come forth in the near future, has nothing to do with the process that you describe. Indeed, there have been processes on the surface of the planet that have existed since the fall in Atlantis that individuals have taken advantage of, where they have ascended with the physical form. Some of those who passed through those temples along the Nile in the past ascended with their physical form. There were those who passed through the path set up by the Knights Templar through the Gothic cathedrals through to Roslyn Chapel, who also ascended with the physical form individually. And so there have been a number of paths by which this can be undertaken or could be undertaken in the past. And in a sense, all of these are really washed away by the transition which awaits humanity, which is occurring on a planetary basis.
Well, thank you. That's a great confirmation and something I'd intuitively felt. And thank you very much.
Thank you for your question. And Richard, thank you for bringing that forth, and Gaia also. We have a few other questions from people on the line. And before we get there, I would like to ask Gaia something, a question of my own. We all love you, Gaia, for your beauty and for what you have done for us. But we would like a better understanding about you, how your soul was created, how you were given this magnificent planet to work with. Can you give us a few thoughts about that? Because we love you dearly and wish to know more about you.
I thank you for your interest and for the opportunity to explain this a little further. Firstly, I will say that, as you might imagine, given that I, in a sense, do not reside in the third dimension as you do, I have not had my skills and abilities and understandings shut down in the manner that humanity has had in participating in this experience. And so I have retained my memories, my understanding of who and what I am, and from whence I came. And as you have described many times, Carolyn, there were groups of souls created by all there is in the center of the cosmos, or more accurately, groups of monads brought forth for particular purposes. And there are many such groups with varying responsibilities and roles. And indeed, there was a group of monads created for the specific purpose of sending forth fingers of consciousness, as you describe them, to oversee the journey of particular planets and indeed stars. Each of these carry a being, you might say, that is the supervisor, the overseer for that particular planet or star. And this is, in a sense, separate from the consciousness of that planet or star. I do not wish to confuse you, but planet Earth has its own expression of consciousness as a planet, which is not the same as the role that I fulfill. And many confuse me with the consciousness of the planet. And really, I am not that. I am the one that oversees the journey of the planet in all of its dimensions and ensure that fundamentally it stays on track, and that I take care of any, for example, preparations that might be needed for the transition that you are about to experience from the third dimension. And so I have that overseeing role, not just for the planet itself, but all upon it. And so you might say I have come forth from a monad that was created for the specific purpose of providing what you might consider souls to take on the kind of role that I take on for this beautiful planet Earth. And so, in a sense, that gives you a little of my background. And my monad has participated in the journey of many planets, and indeed, in some cases, stars. And so it was a great honor to be given the opportunity to come forth and oversee this beautiful blue-green gem called planet Earth.
That's beautiful. Did your work start here when Earth was created, or did you work with other stars or planets before Earth was created?
My monad has worked with many others, as I indicated, but I, as the expression of consciousness that I am, came forth specifically to oversee planet Earth. And because my memories are intact and my connection to my monad is intact, I have complete access to all of that experience and information in the role that I am fulfilling.
That's beautiful. Thank you. MJ from Florida is on line 4. Welcome, MJ. Your question.
Thank you. Thank you. In the initial talk tonight from Gaia regarding the ascension, I believe it was stated that we might not really notice a difference. My question is, in the ascension process, and a lot of people say, what happens if nothing happens on December 21st, 22nd, 23rd? Are people who I know, am I going to disappear because I'm in a higher dimension? Will I still be there to interact with them? Those are the questions that are coming up.
Thank you, MJ. Richard?
There will be a separation of paths, as has been explained by Universal Consciousness in her message to Carolyn that is on the 2012 Countdown website. This talks about several paths that beings will follow, and for completeness I will summarize it. There are those who will participate in the ascension process, and they will pass through these energies of the solstice relatively painlessly, you might say, but they will be aware of the energies. You will know that they are present. You will know that something is happening. And a small number of beings will ascend at the time of the solstice, but for the most part, this will not occur until the March equinox of next year. This is one group. There is another group that their souls and their monads consider are quite close to the point where they can participate in this ascension process. And so they will remain on the third dimensional earth for a period of time. And these beings will have what you might consider a bit of a rough ride with this coming solstice, as their energies are purged. And they will survive this, but they will know that they have been through a significant transition. There is a third group who will not survive the energies, but their souls and their monads will survive. And those souls will then quite quickly reincarnate in another third dimensional consciousness to continue their journey. So they will transition at the time of the solstice, and you might say they will seemingly disappear from this third dimensional consciousness of planet Earth. And there is a final stream, which is those beings who truly are examples of the dark. And they too will not survive the coming solstice. However, not only will their physical form not survive, but their souls will not survive. Their souls will be deconstructed, because this is a time when the cycle of the dark, you might say, is also ending. And so all of those souls that are not true expressions of the dark will continue to move forward on one of these various paths, except for those who are truly reflections of the dark. And you might ask, so what will be the experience of the various souls? And you see, you, as you experience life, feel such an attachment to those around you in various forms, on various levels. And because of the nature of your emotional bodies in particular, and the interactions that you form with individuals in this consciousness, you attach importance to it. But let me tell you, dear one, in the scheme of things, these are not so significant. Yes, there are those souls, you might say, that you have journeyed with over many lifetimes. And so you have formed long-term relationships that are much more comprehensive, you might say, than just this lifetime. And it is extremely likely that those relationships will persist beyond the ascension time frame. But you see, when you cross over in a normal human life and reincarnate, you do not remember, for the most part, all of those people that you have shared your life with. And yet, as you live your life today, you attach great significance to it. You are sentimental, you might say. And so as you examine life from this moment, the notion that beings that you have shared your life with you will not remember seems such an unpleasant notion. And it is simply this sentimentality that is at work here. When you transition to wherever you are going, and I say this generically, I don't say it just to you, MJ, but to all listening and anyone who may listen in the future, you will retain a connection with those that remain in the consciousness in which you find yourself. Beyond that, it will be as if those other individuals that made up your life never existed. And I say to you, this is, as I said already, a matter of sentimentality. It is only an issue that arises because of these attachments that you form in this expression of consciousness in this particular lifetime. And so, understand that this is not the drama that you fear it will be, because it will not. It will be clear and clean and simple, and it really is the best way. It has been long reflected upon, and the choices have long been made in regard to this. Those who do not share your new path will not remain in your memories. They will be cleared. They will be purged. And so it is.
Thank you so much, Gaia. And MJ, thank you for your question. I know a lot of people were asking about that. We have others on the line, but unfortunately, we're at the end of our hour. An hour goes by so fast. And we thank you for your interest, your listening to us, your questions. They're all wonderful. We would like to also personally thank Gaia in a very special way for her beautiful stories and her understandings and awareness. We'd also like to thank Richard for bringing her forth. Those of you who do not do this work have no idea as to just how much energy that it takes, concentration, and the work sounds so simple as he brings it forth, but it is very complex. And so thank you, Richard, for your efforts. We do appreciate it.
Thank you, Carolyn, and thank you, Gaia. Such a beautiful energy she has. It's still very much here with me.
That's wonderful. We don't even have a minute to chat. We're right up to the wire. And so, for all of you beautiful beings that are within listening, have a connection with this show, we thank you for being here. And those who will listen to it later, tune into the energies, know that we love you. Know that these are exceptional times. And be brave. It has been planned. It will be easy. Bless you all, my friends. Until the next time.